Okay. So, how do we apply the righteous judgment of the Father over the world? How do we apply that to our lives every day? This is the task you're going to have. Okay, you're not going to change anything. Isn't that something? We hear a truth that's so wonderful, it's so pure, that there isn't anything you can do about it except realize that it's already completed. Just rest and stay within that realm of realizing there's nothing wrong with this world. Nothing. Except God so loved the world. He said God so loved the world. He gave. He's always giving. God so loved the world. Not God so judged the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, people think God's going to come back here. Well, God can only come as a man and show up in hell.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. God can't, you know, mm-hmm. God can't show up in hell because it's not real. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll see God there. We will. Mm-hmm. David said he was there. He said, I lifted up my eyes in hell, and there you were. Jonah said, I cried out unto the Lord out of the belly of hell. So it's not any place anybody's going, friends. Hell is just the place in your life where you're not satisfied.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's your place in your life where you're not satisfied. It's that simple. So we shouldn't be afraid of that. You know, we think of those words and that, you know, maybe there's a little better word for it. The other word he uses was destruction. I guess he used destruction. Hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. So measure your spiritual success by how satisfied you are. Could you go through a whole day and be satisfied? I'd say that'd be a challenge for a lot of us. If we listen to what proceeds out of our mouth, if we really listen, or do we just talk it into the air most of the time? But are we listening to what we say? People say, oh, I'm just joking, but I don't believe that. It comes from somewhere deep. Maybe we're not aware of it, right? So work out your own salvation means see the world. All of your loved ones, you don't have to worry about them anymore, to be afraid of them anymore. Don't teach them to be afraid. They're okay. God sees them just as righteous as he does you. But somehow when we started getting spiritual, we had the arrogant idea that he just saw me that way. But he didn't see anybody else that way because they weren't in church or they're not here. Well, they don't need to be here. Yeah. And you know something that happened to me a couple months ago? Because I told Tony I was not comfortable with sharing for a time. And the Father said to me, and I realized, that if I never spoke another word in my life about anything, it wouldn't change this truth I was hearing. God says everything's okay. Mm-hmm. I see the world in righteousness. This thing out here that looks messy, that's all he sees. So, now, I titled this one, Who is Man? The Three Amigos. The Three Amigos. Anybody seen that movie? The Three Amigos? Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and Steve Martin. Yeah. Comedy.
Yeah.
They were in their sombreros, and their insignia was to turn to the right and cough all at the same time, you know? That was their mark, you know? Funny. Anyway, we're going to start out to go back. I want to go back and pick you up where you were the hour before. That's why it's important you do listen to these, to listen to them together, because every time I talk, it always is an extension of what I talked about the first time. Always. If you start at the beginning, back a year ago in October, they always build, because I would go back and listen to what I spoke before, and whatever I heard new and fresh came into the next message. So these, it's really important that you understand last hour's message, because we're going to talk about that in the other two messages to try to tie them together. So who is man? The three amigos. The three amigos are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
But I don't want to keep saying it over and over and over again, so I just call them the three amigos. Okay. All right? So we're going to find out today what Peter was talking about when he said, "You have obtained a precious faith." A precious faith that understands the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the righteous judgment of God. They're synonymous, okay? It's a declaration. It's not a work. It's, "I have declared it." He said that. "I have declared it. Who can reverse it?"
Yeah.
Now, he was messing with Abraham, and he tells Abraham, "You know, I'm your reward." Abraham says, "Yeah, well, what do you give me?" Well, that was his problem, wasn't it? "What do you give me? Send you straight to hell." It will. It's going to torment you. I don't care what it is. Because you're now in a place where you're not satisfied. It's pretty simple, right? It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, it's hard, right? So, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" This isn't God talking, this is you. "Who do you think you are?" That's what he says. "Who do you think you are? What do you think man's like?" "Man is like unto vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." That's what man's like. A shadow that passeth away. "Then I looked at all the works of my hands and what I had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. And it produced a vexation of my spirit." And there was no profit under it. Zero. No, not a little, zero. No profit under it. Now, does that mean that what we're doing in life, there's no profit under it? It's not what we're talking about, folks. What are we talking about? Judgment. The judgment of your life is what has no profit. Enjoy what you're doing. Love what you're doing. That's okay. But it's our judgment of it, our byproduct of it, between here, that's the problem, okay? So I love what Malcolm Smith taught years and years ago. He said, "You always have got a green light." People say, "Well, I want to be in the will of God." "Oh, what's the will of God?" Now, what's the will of God? Especially when we were in the Pentecostal movement with Marilyn Hickey and the Charismatics. I loved them. They were excited, but they're always trying to find the will of God. And God summed it all up in 1 Thessalonians 5 when he said, "And this is the will of God, to be thankful in all things."
Amen.
Okay, to be thankful. So, How long are you satisfied for? Probably be pretty sad, wouldn't it, if we were to think about that. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Who'd that? Mother Teresa. Everybody thinks she's pretty high up there. This says every man at his best state is altogether vanity. What about your life here in this realm? What about it? That's what it's talking about. This guy that wrote the message, somebody needs to shake his hand, because I looked up the next passage in Psalms and I had to use the message. This is so, it's going to be funny, but it's good. Man as such is smoke. He's smoke. Woman as such, a mirage.
Smoke and mirrors.
Put them together, they're nothing. Two times nothing is nothing. And a windfall, if it comes, don't make too much of it. That's Psalm 62. And so now James. For what is your life? He says. Your definition of life now. Not what's going on here. Remember, God has declared the world righteous. So let's not judge what people are doing. I don't care how awful it looks. Withdraw from the judgment. Because it's the judgment that's producing the problem. See, that's what we don't understand. It's not the doing of it that's the problem. It's the judgment of it that's the problem. So you're just as much of a contributor as they are. Just as much. We've talked about that for a long time. We're just taking off some of the draught off the pure metal. You know, when they refine metal, all the draught comes to the top. We're just skimming off some of the baloney that we've mixed in there that's sort of clouding it, right? So, what is your life? James says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Okay? So now, if you start today and go clear back to when you were born, and I say, thank God that's over with. But when I look at it, what does it mean today? If I try to bring anything of that into today, it's going to be mostly judgment. It's going to be, boy, I did this or I did that, isn't it? What else could you bring forward but what you did? It's not real. There's no such thing as history, right, Martha? No such thing as history. It's a memory. God doesn't have a memory. He doesn't know anything about memory or history. He eternally dwells within this moment. So what it means is everything that you are, everything that everyone is, has to be eternally completed, fixed, fulfilled, done in this moment. Otherwise, we're going back in time and space, aren't we? It's got to all be done now. This is what the Father sees. This is why He's looked on the world and said, I have judged the world in righteousness. I've judged it in righteousness. So, we've got a verdict here. The people say all the time, you know, my whole life is singing. We watch American Idol. Well, this is my life. they got their job. That's my life, you know, and this is my life. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty sad, you know, because it changes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, man is like unto vanity. He's a shadow. So how long are we going to keep trying to screw success onto our vanity? We keep working at this all the time. Continually trying to make something better. And can we add value to vanity, substance to a shadow? To a vapor that's vanishing away? When God has declared, be righteous, who you are, who you truly are, righteous. It has to be true for your neighbor if it's true for you.
Yeah.
It has to be. Because he's commanded us to love our neighbors ourselves. So this vanity, this picture, spends its whole life seeking, desiring, longing to improve his circumstances. So we try to chase down health and prosperity and truly believe that if we find this, that we're getting some kind of blessing because we can hear more clearly. This too is vanity. God does not promise us a more abundant lifestyle if we hear correctly. Because if you're looking at that, folks, to listen to me, it's going to go like this. It goes like this. Doesn't matter where you are, what you believe, or who you are. It goes like this. Okay? That's not life. It's not life. I don't care who you are. Crap's going to hit the fan. Okay? It does. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. Okay? That shouldn't surprise us. What do we think? We're more righteous, so it should happen less to me? No. That's not righteousness. That's judgment. And it judges everybody else when we think that way. You know? It judges everybody. We gotta leave this in the rearview mirror. Okay. So we've taken the ministry of Jesus now, everything that he did on earth, which again was visual, right? It was visual. We've taken the ministry of Jesus, and it was to a people whose desire was to get fed and to be healed and to find wealth. He called those of that generation, O ye of little faith. He called those of that generation an adulterous nation, seeking a sign. Seeking a sign. Well, if I'm good and do my lessons or whatever it is, you know, I'll have some more favor. And at this level, at this ground level, Karen and I were talking about this the other day. At this ground level, there's some benefit there. This earthy level of little faith, this earthy level. But how about this upper view now, when we can see the whole picture? Because problem will come into your life, and when you, like I said earlier, when you get at the end of it, you say, boy, I guess that wasn't all it was cracked up to be. But boy, in between, it was awful. Right? It was awful. When we get to the end, we had a piece of equipment that we lent to a friend of ours once. Expensive piece of equipment. Tried to help him out. And the last day they'd had it like 2 months, they decided to party. Well, it was a great big boom lift that reached out 60 foot, you know. And I said, now, when you ever use this thing, you got to keep it flat, right? Well, they started drinking, and they decided to get up in this thing, and they hung a log out of it, and they started driving downhill. Well, guess what? It rolled. It rolled down the hill, totaled the whole thing, knocked the house, kittywampus, and logs went flying. And we'd lost our piece of equipment. And it was hell for us, you know, because, you know, now I needed to use it, you know. And to make a long story short, his insurance company, a month later, bought it back from us at full price, and then sold it to me for a fraction of what it was worth, and then I repaired it for another few thousand and had my lift again. Wow. So I ended up making 20 grand and I got my lift back. But in between A and B, it was hell. See? That's what you don't follow. You can't follow that. And we follow like some hound tied to a hound dog on a leash chasing some coons. And we're just dragged, we're being drugged all over the place, you know. Because we're trying to find some kind of satisfaction at every point in life. And he says it's all vanity. We aren't going to find satisfaction there. It's all vanity. We can't find it there. It only can come in truth and understanding proper judgment of this world. That everything is in order. It's just this, that seeing stuff out of order all the time. Just right here. So our definition of humanity is man seeking to improve, to change, to alter, to adjust his circumstances. So in this you'll never be satisfied. You will only find hell and destruction. It's not a resting place. You'll never find rest there. So what is your man doing? You know, are you seeking, hoping something will change in your life? Is that what you're looking for? Every desire has a name. I remember Kathy saying a couple years ago, I want. You know. I like the bumper sticker, hire a teenager while they still know everything. You know, they think they got life figured out, and what do they want? I mean, they're bored, you know, in 5 minutes if you haven't got something for them to do. Yeah. They don't know how to be still. They don't know what life's about, right? And they're never satisfied. You give kids toys, and they play with them 5 minutes, and I don't like that anymore, you know. That's what we're talking about. We're no different. They're bigger toys. They're bigger issues, right? But when will we be satisfied? Mm-hmm. So Job, here's a little story. Job came across some circumstance, and it is an allegory. Whether something literally happened or not doesn't matter. We'll say it did. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is, Job was called God's servant. And all of a sudden, Satan appeared before the Lord, and God said, what have you been doing? Well, I've been going to and fro across the earth, which pretty much means nothing. I've been going to and fro across the earth. Well, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. You've got to hedge about him. You can't do nothing with him. You know, I want to get my hands on him. Okay, go ahead. And so the story goes on. And Job understood a God of good and evil then. He understood a God of good and evil. This devil was Job's mind, the father of lies, communicating with his spirit. What are you doing? His spirit said. What are you doing? I'm just trying to scratch out a living by the sweat of my brow, going to and fro across the earth. And judging by that, remember he said he had a lot of stuff, right? Oh, he had all this stuff, right? So it wasn't a guy with a pitchfork, it was Job's mind battling his spirit. And at that time in Job 2, it said that he only knew a God of good and evil. He said, shall we not accept both good and evil from the hand of the Lord?
Yeah.
That's what he said. Now you go to the end of the scripture, and all Job could do was say, I put a coal of fire on my lips. at the end. So the Father replies, is this voice that tells you something's wrong. Something's out of order. Something needs to be changed. Something needs to be fixed. Watch out for this. Look out for that. Be afraid of this. Be afraid of that. This is the father of lies. Puts up warning signs, you know. And we should drive on the left side of the road when you're here. It's okay. So what is a father? So this father that dwells in our mind is one that is following its own concept of life. This is your worldview, right? You follow that worldview. It probably has quite a number of thoughts and quite a number of systems of belief. And it gets built up, you know, we stack these things up on each other and it becomes a system that we operate by. That's why sometimes it's hard to see through it, because it's built up over time. And so this the father is like a guide, right? So Jesus looked at him and said, you follow your father, the devil. Well, he was judging them. Well, no, he wasn't. He was telling them that they were just following their own mind. He wasn't calling them the devil. You're just following in your own mind, and out of it will always come judgment. Will always come judgment. That's what he was telling him. He said to Peter one time, upon this rock I'll build my church. Then he turned to the other two and decided to get behind me, Satan.
Yep.
So when we look at all these stories throughout Scripture, it's always talking about man's vexation and vanity trying to control his life versus the spirit within, which already knows the righteousness of God. Your spirit is in tune with the righteous judgment of God. It's already in tune with it. Already. So that's where the friction comes. Because this up here is producing all these concepts. It produces friction within and unrest. You become unsettled. That's why this is the serpent of Eden. Right here. This is the serpent. The mind of man. Yep. Thinking he needs to do something about the righteousness of God. Or can do something. This father wants to see the world at peace. Here. Thinks that the world will be at peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. Full stop. Full stop. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How? By judging the world in righteousness. By judging it in righteousness. That's how we overcome the world. We're never going to see anything overcome by anything visual. There's still going to be mayhem in the world. But we now are going to be separate from that. Today, we're going to begin to be separate from that and not pile on everybody else's fear and judgment. So, I remember this man sent me a tape of Joel. It was called The Garden of Eden. Unbelievable message. Unbelievable message. It was, I think it was a recording of a recording. I heard him hollering at Martha in the background. Get that tape, Martha! You know, it was funny, you know. And, lovingly.
It was fun. Lovingly. I remember.
Yeah. But you could hear your nose scratching. I had to turn it way up and get real close to the speaker, you know. And he said something in that recording that I've never forgot. Until we rise above mind, we will never see the salvation of the Lord until we rise above mind. What is that? By not judging by what we see or hear. That's rising above mind.
Wow.
Up here, right? Not judging by what we see or hear. Absolutely. Not partially. There's nothing out there, folks, by the way. There's nothing out there. It just looks like there is. There's nothing out there that isn't vanity. You're going to judge vanity? It's a waste of time, isn't it? Why judge vanity? That's judging your judgment. That may drive you crazy. It's all vanity. Vanity is a harsh word. It just means it's a puff of smoke. James says it's a vapor. Same word. Vapor, vanity. But all those things vex your spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. This is a definition of flesh. That's what we're talking about. Our judgment of the world. It's the flesh warring against the spirit of perfect righteousness that dwells within. You'll never know it. You're never going to know this until we can see the righteous judgment of God. And we're just scratching the surface. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the perfect love of God, which is going to turn it up another notch. Because now we're just trying to deal with the things that are tormenting us. Well, we get out of there, and then what about the love? What about love? What's perfect love? So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So until we cease to judge by appearances and understand righteous judgment, we will never know peace. So we have to know it here. This is where it begins, right? And then it extends out to those around us in love. That's where it begins. So here, right here, the spirit that dwells within is the place of righteousness, the place of peace. So there's nothing you can do to change or improve that spirit of life that dwells within you. Not a choice you make, not a desire you have. It's already complete. You can't change it. You can change your circumstances out here a little bit by making choices and stuff, but it doesn't change who you are. You can change vanity. You can change a vapor. You can play with smoke, it says. You go ahead and do that. It might look like you're getting a little bit of ways for a little while, but how often has it changed? How often is a problem solved for yet you to settle into another one that needs to be solved?
That's true.
How often has that happened, huh? Is that life? I don't think so. Now, guys, I tell you what, I face a ton of stuff every day, following 50 people around at my work, okay? They're running in left and right. What about this? What about that, you know? And I just listen, and the wisdom of God comes out of me on how to solve every one of their problems. So I'm definitely their guru, and they know there's some wisdom there. But they're all flustered. I got a couple emails sitting in my inbox right now, from one of my gals, and she's all flustered. And so I don't know how to answer it right now, but I got the answer last night right before I went to bed. It came to me, I had to get up, turn the light on and scratch it down so I didn't forget it, you know. But I just wait and the answer always comes. Is that success though? No, it's not success. It's not the definition of success. Though it's going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. And the more people we get, the more is going to come, you know. And I just love it. I just love it. I love loving these people. I love that they're encouraged, that they feel God's love from Diane and I. That's why we go. That's why we do it, you know. And I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to help. So we need to help each other. Do what you got to do. There's nothing wrong going to the doctor or doing stuff. Down at this ground level, do whatever you got to do. You got a green light. Don't judge it. There's no pattern. There is no pattern. forget it. There's no pattern or blessing. You're not, you can't do things in certain much order and I get the blessing. You're already blessed. As much as you're ever going to be blessed. You're going to get all you got. It's all in there. You can't get any more. So when will you be satisfied? When you stop judging the world. That's when you'll be satisfied. Mm-hmm. That's when it'll begin. When you start loving your neighbor as yourself. Pick the person you like the least to start with, and all the rest of them will just fall in line then, won't they? It'll save you some time, right? I got some people that frustrate me. I got 2 or 3. One of them's my neighbor. He's been on tape many times. He likes running over my sprinkler heads, tearing through my lawn like he's auditioning for Dukes of Hazzard. You know, he's got an old red pickup truck with a diesel engine that's got the biggest exhaust on it you can have, and it's jacked up in the air 10 feet with a shotgun in the window. Yeah, tears through, you know. Don and I went to hell with it for a year, didn't we? We put speed bumps in. She was so frustrated one night she was going to drag boards with nails in them out to flatten all his tires. This sweet little thing. She's the sweetest thing I ever met. She was getting ready to pound nails and boards and drag it out there. I'll get him.
It's those steroids now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, yeah. And we went out to the 4th of July, which they must do, we were gone. He had snuck up with his backhoe and tore all those speed bumps out I put in while we were gone. They were gone.
That is funny.
Now, I knew all along, my spirit had been talking to me all along, why are you doing this image? You're just going to stir up a hornish nest. You're going to just, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. It ain't going to help. I did it anyway. We sat down and grabbed each other's hands up on the hill there. Some of you have been to our place. And Diane, I said, Diane, let's just let them have their way. Let them think they've won. And let's just stop judging them anymore. Now, they're still driving sort of crazy. They slowed down a little bit, you know. But we aren't tormented about it anymore, are we? We aren't. We're not tormented about it at all. They get it all now. See, they get ours and theirs, see. Because they still think we're tormented at them, and we are. So they get a double dose of it, don't they?
Yeah.
That's not any fun. Mm-hmm. But we do the same things. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same things. They might be little, they might be big. But if there's heaviness in your life, if there's frustration in your life, you're chasing vanity, folks. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're chasing vanity. That's why you can't get any relief. That's why there's no peace there. How long are you going to bat it or smoke? How long are you going to do that? Throw your shoulders out. Hurt your elbow, you know. Stop it. It'd be better just not to do anything. So, what do you want today? What are you seeking today? Is it to change an issue? Is it to alter anything which you can see or hear? So, 30,000 foot. You could have a 30,000 foot view of your life and see it all at once. From when you were born, and you were told not to cry, and you were told to be careful, and you were taught to fear, and you were taught to worry, and you were taught to stand up for yourself, and you were taught to do this, taught to do that. All of it, till now. What would it be? What would it be that would satisfy this view? What would satisfy you? Would you look at a particular event? Oh, I was satisfied there, satisfied here. What would it be? You probably couldn't really come up with an answer. Really? That's why it's called vanity. That's why it's called a vapor. Because you really, today, couldn't come up with an answer. Because there's so many of them, they probably all got lost in the smoke. Right? Which one is it that you'd say, ah, that's when I had victory in Jesus, you know, and we sang it and we stood up and we thanked God and there's victory in Jesus, you know, we got up and it had to do with a certain specific thing. I got up, God blessed me, you know, I had a good corn crop and the next year I lost it all. Well, he didn't stand up that year, did he? That's what I mean. But we can't look at blessing in our life and put any spiritual value on it, folks. That's works righteousness. You can't do that. Because it's going to change. And it's okay. Just say it's okay. All right? It's okay. We aren't going to judge by that anymore. We don't judge that way. So we don't really understand that everything man does under the sun is vanity. Everything. He's walking to and fro across the earth, trying to improve his plight, trying to increase his wealth, his health, his circumstances. This all is vanity. And where's it going to get you? What if you got everything you wanted? Then what? How many people do we see have their health, win the lottery, and you hear stories about them a year or two later, and they're in all kinds of trouble? How many famous singers who are unbelievably popular have left young because they can't handle it? They can't handle it all. It's not the answer. Because it's changing all the time. It always is changing. Your answer lies within you. So how are you about your Father's business? There's only one, by the way, that's going to speak truth to you. Be still and know that I am God does not be to be quiet and sit in the corner and wait for an improvement in our circumstances. Yes. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean to meditate that we no longer suffer. It has nothing to do with that. For these things do the nations of the world seek, but not ye. Quit seeking it. Don't chase it. It'll burn you. Because then you'll always be comparing and judging. Always. There's no life in that. There's no life in it. So now comes the secret. The three amigos. The secret of faith. It's a beautiful story. I love telling stories. It's a beautiful story. They knew the secret formula to spiritual understanding and to spiritual success. So you ready? I'm going to mark that. So, I'm going to tell you the story. We're not going to read it. I know it. Nebuchadnezzar was a cool dude. I really liked him. I love his stories. You remember the day he stood out on the balcony and he says, blah, look what all my hands have done. And the next day he was eating ox, grass with the ox out in the field. And it said he went insane. It said he was out of his right mind. He did. That's what we do when we're chasing vanity.
Yeah.
It's insanity. There's no stability. There's nothing we can hang our hat on that produces any kind of life because it's forever changing. forever changing. Nothing, nothing, folks, that is real changes. Nothing that is real can change. Do you understand that? If it's real, it can't change. That's just basic science. It can't. Can't change. God is the only thing that's reality. And he says, I change not. I will not withdraw my judgment over the world. Whether you believe it or not, I will not withdraw it. I've spoken it, he said, and that's it. I've spoken it. I judge the world in righteousness. Now, the three amigos understood this. And so Nebuchadnezzar goes nuts, and he decides to build an idol, right? So he builds an idol, and he makes a declaration, and he sends musicians all around the community. And at appointed times, they would stand up and play their instruments. And everyone was commanded to turn to a certain direction and bow down. Everyone. You know. Right? These guys wouldn't do it. And so some reporters were out there, obviously some people gossiping. Oh, did you see the three amigos, you know, the guys, I don't know, you know. Got back to him and he says, well, let's go find out. You know, he didn't seem honked off. He says, well, let's go talk to him. We will talk some sense into him, right? So he goes to talk to them. And, oh, wait a second here. So he goes to talk to them. The king Nebuchadnezzar goes to talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, well, what's going on, guys? Why don't you bow down to my idol? And they said something amazing. They said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. Yeah, we're not careful. We're going to tell you what we think. We're not careful to answer thee, O king. And it doesn't matter, okay? We're not going to bow down. But this is what they said. God is able to save us. Ground level now, right? Remember? God is able to save us on this ground level. And he will, but if not, is faith speaking, but if not, we will not bow down to your idol. What did they say? Sure, God's able to save us from this thing you got going on. Sure he is. And he will, which means either way, we're okay with it. Right? And then they drove the nail into the casket and said, but if not, we ain't buying into your stuff. Okay? We ain't following you there. That's the key to faith, to your life. Right there. The key. So if something comes to you, enjoy it. But if not, it's okay. Quit chasing your tail. Wherever you find yourself, in whatever state you find yourself, therewith be content, it says. Whatever state you find yourself, therewith be content. That's what they were saying. This is faith, and it applies to everybody in every situation at any time, doesn't it? It doesn't matter who it is. It's not prejudice. It's no respecter of persons. And it always applies. Always. And it never judges anyone. That's why it's pure wisdom. But if not, the three biggest words they said, but if not. Now, the idol was the object of desire. The words from the king was all the vanity that's spoken out of man. And the fiery furnace was your mind. It's your mind. That's the fiery furnace right here. Right? You're not going to bow down to it anymore. To the judgment that comes spewing out. That creates these idols of worship in your life. That's what it's about. It's not about a story about three guys. It's about you. The fiery furnace is just all of the turmoil and the vain imagination that's we come up with all the time that gives us a false picture of what real life is, what living is. We can't follow it. It's always changing. But if not, amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The secret to faith. But if not. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're seeing with loved ones, friends, it's going to be okay. Something might happen here. That's okay. But what then? Let's say that happens. Now what? Let's say you get your health. And that's a big issue with a lot of people. And I feel compassion for that. It's not good fun to suffer. I've had issues in my own life. I don't like it. It's okay. But what if you get it? And I'll tell you what Walter Lanyon said about it. So, chase after all the health you want. He says, I'd like it if you got your health, but didn't. He says, then you get it and you end up being afraid that you're going to get sick again and die. So why not just get it over with? That's what he said. Why not just get the whole misery over with?
Absolutely.
There's no life in having help. So you spend your whole life chasing it. We all do. I go to the doctor. Okay, so there's anybody any different? To find out there's no such thing as health. Or wealth. There's no such thing. It's all vanity. It's all a puff of smoke. When will you be satisfied with what you have today? When? Right now. Yeah, it'll be okay if you get something. And you're going to receive your full reward. We've just heard about it. God sees you in righteousness right now. But if you don't get what you want, it's going to be okay. Can we see that in Kathy's story and in all of her book? The most wonderful statement she said in there, it says, when I finally realized that it didn't matter whether I lived or died, I was at peace. When I finally realized that, folks, we're all going to disappear from here. How much, we're putting too much value on all that, right? We're hanging on to it too tightly. We're hanging on to it just so tightly. We're trying to squeeze life out of death, and there's no life there. You are eternally alive forevermore right now.
Yes.
You are right now.
Yes.
Have eternal life. Some people don't understand that right now, but we're not going to judge them. They're all going to know.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to know. And it's none of my business whether I can see it or not. That's none of my business. They're all going to know. So don't worry about your loved ones. Don't worry about your friends. They all belong to God. They're all safe. Don't tell them what to do. Tell them about the righteous judgment of God. Tell them about how he's declared the world in righteousness already. He said it. Tell them that. That's what they need to hear. They don't need to be told to be careful or watch out for this or that or run around in fear. So we rest in this, just like God rested in his love when he was all done with his creation. He said, I rested in my love. So the three amigos wouldn't bow down to what God rewards and punishes, would they? It didn't matter to them what happened to them. It didn't matter. They saw the world for what it was. they saw this realm. Everything that happens under the sun is vanity. And didn't follow it. They didn't follow it. And that was their, but if not. Their conclusion. Three little words. Their conclusion was, but if not. The whole of this world, all that you see, all that you hear, all that you experience in life, is wrapped around the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This world is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This world is. Because it's constantly going to draw you into judgment.
Yeah.
Continuously. So are we going to eat of that? Are we going to judge the world? And die? Die right then. Live in death. Jesus said in Luke 8, let the dead go bury the dead. Right? Well, he said it all the time. He called him Satan. He said, you're the father of lies. Well, that's because of their judgment. It wasn't them. He wasn't. We think it's this bad people. Well, there's no bad people out there. I'm the bad person. I'm the one that judges by what I see and hear. I followed my father of lies, my brain. That's the father of lies, this thing right here. That continually judges, condemns, criticizes, finds fault, wants something more, can't have this, I want that, just on and on and on, oh my gosh, you know. So, if you get excited about an event that takes place in this world, and believe that it's an answer to prayer, we're judging by appearances. That's a big task. How many events are there that happen out there you should get excited about? Start a ministry. Right? Who's right? So when we do this, it's communicating and making petitions to the God of this world. I don't want to pray to the God of this world anymore. Because there either ain't one there. It's like what we said last week, you know. God doesn't force himself on anybody. And that's true because no one's there. He is who you are. He is you. The only thing that's sustainable in your life is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That is who you are. You're not a human being. You're a child of God. Spiritual being. So he said, fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. This realm of non-judgment, this view, this right view of the world will start to remove the fear from our lives. Fear not, I am with you. So we would look out into this world and see all of the turmoil and the death and the starvation. We must rise above even this to realize that it's all vanity. It's all vanity. Our view of this world is eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This tree is a tree of judgment. And probably the most elusive thing, the most elusive thing about it is our judgment of wanting to see good come into this world.
Yeah.
That's the catch. Mm. We go, oh, I don't like that. I don't like seeing this. That's okay on this level, guys. We're going to rise up though, right? So we can bring light to the world. We can't communicate on this level and bring light to the world. It helps. Jesus was compassionate. He He was compassionate to those in hell with him. But that he didn't come to heal people, guys. He come to tell a story of the way out.
Yeah.
The way out. I'm come down to get you, to take you out of here.
Yeah.
And if he was, he'd still be here. If that was the mission, he'd still be down here healing everybody. Wow. Is that going to get us anywhere? We're going to keep going back to the same thing all the time? No, it's not life. We've misconstrued all that. So, wanting to see good in the world. Our judgment of wanting to see peace in the world. Peace, peace, but there's no peace. We'll never find peace and security as long as we're seeking peace and security. Never find it. You're never going to see it. So quit seeking it. It already dwells within you by understanding righteous judgment, by understanding the declaration of the Father. Seek not the things of this world. Don't seek to improve the things of this world, but seek ye the kingdom of God, which is to have a vision and an understanding that within the righteousness of a loving God, all is well, and nothing is out of order. Okay, we'll be distilled for a little bit now.
You all being lifted up into a higher realm.
Amen.
Where righteousness dwells.
Yes.
The light of it will
bring
us to a place where we are no longer moved by the appearances that constantly threaten us in all levels of human living. But we're going to find freedom from judging people, ourselves, even, first of all, ourselves.
Yeah.
As long as we feel guilty, then we cannot judge other people because you're seeing everything in the wrong light. But now, the light is shining. So we're going to have some...
Could you sing this song, Jesus Lift My Feet To Be?
Oh, all right. That was the first song that the woman gave me in 1968 or something like that. Mm. Mm. Jesus, me
93. Thank you.
Jesus is peace. And you thank God, Jesus is quietness and assurance forevermore.
And good?
Yeah.
That's the fruit of it.
Pardon? Number 99, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Number 99.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart.
Or condition, if you only seek God's righteousness first,
yes.
And everything else will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good thing about it, isn't it? Fringe benefits. Say it again, Madonna.
Peace I leave with you.
Okay.
My peace I give unto you.
Timing of this afternoon.
Yeah.